Father, we thank you that you give us manna week after week. And Lord, it is a fresh manna. It's not stale. It's not even yesterday's. It's today. It's now. It's this moment. And so, Lord, I pray that all those who listen to your word eat of it and enjoy it, but take above all its sustenance, that it keeps us alive, sustains us, causes us to have strength, to overcome, to stand, to endure to the end. Lord, we thank you that that is what your pure word is to us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning the Lord has given me a different message than from Peter. And for those who take notes, it's praying and believing. Praying and believing. So it's not just praying, but it's believing. Now, of course, that's no revelation in this assembly. Or at least I hope it isn't. But it might just reveal that we do a lot of praying, but we're not always believing in that praying. And that's really what I want to emphasize this morning. Because there's no point praying if there is no believing. You see, the point is, if you just pray and you don't believe, you are religious. You are simply doing, sadly, what so many in this country will be doing today, this morning, or if they go to the church this evening. There'll be maybe a lot of praying, a lot of words, but there's no believing. And there can be no believing without praying. And there can be no praying without believing. Because much of your believing comes as a result of praying. We are told, aren't we, in the Word of God, that faith comes by hearing and reading, hearing the Word of God. But that hearing, that reading, what you hear even today, you take away with you. And very often you take it away because something has come up, or something that has convicted, or you see that you are shorting, or the Lord has spoken into your life, or you maybe have come aware that you're not in that place of faith that you thought you should be in certain areas. So if you love the Lord, something within you says, I have to go away and I have to talk with God about this. I have to settle it. Much of that's done in prayer. It's communicating, talking with God. It's going into that closet that we should do as overcomers each day. But you see, there's no point in doing that if at the end of the day what you've heard, what you've been challenged with, or what's got your name and address on, you've got to go before God and believe that as you're praying, God is going to deal with it. God is going to answer that prayer. No matter how small or how big, whatever it would be, we must always be on believing ground. And that is why I'm a great believer that when you come before God on your own, not as an assembly, but on your own, you give yourself time with God to get your heart and spirit right. You can't rush going into God's presence. He won't let it happen. God isn't about to say, well, you know, I'll accept the fact that you can only give me a quick 5 minutes. That is not what it should be about. We should be getting breakthroughs now, after all these years, where in seeking the kingdom of God first, all things are added unto you. And I can most assuredly say that he will give quality time added to you in order to seek him, to get your heart right, to get into his presence, and to make those requests known. That is essential if we are to go on in this last lap now as overcomers. And I shall touch on that later on. Now, hindrances to believing are very often connected with the flesh. It is the flesh part of us that hinders prayer or may stop prayer. And it says, of course, in Galatians 5 and verse 16, he says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fill the lusts of the flesh. It is the lusts of the flesh that hinder our walk and stand with God. And it will certainly be a hindrance with regard to prayer. What do I mean by the lusts of the flesh? Well, the lusts of the flesh can speak of anything. It's not just sexual. Let's pretend to think that's all it is. It's far, far more than that. Lusts of the flesh, where maybe you're working, say, all hours that God sends because you want to have these holidays, you want to buy these new cars to keep up with the Joneses, you want new things in the house. And I'm not saying you can't have any of those things, so don't get me wrong what I'm saying. But what I'm saying is it's a lust, it's a wanting. It's wanting to keep up with the latest thing, the latest gadgets, the latest thing. And there are people out in that world who strive to keep up with the latest thing. They are in debt up to their eyeballs because they're lusting after the new things that come out. Now, have you ever thought about new things that come out every day? There must be hundreds of things around the world that come out every day that factories produce or that's advertised, the latest model, the latest design, whatever it would be. God doesn't want us caught up in that. That is lusting after it, and it will take all your energy, all your time to try and just even touch it, never alone live it, unless you are a multimillionaire. That is not the way we are to walk. If we walk in the Spirit, God will bring these things to you. Do you have need of a new carpet? God says, I will bring it to you. Whatever you need, whatever needs changing, whatever's got old and falling apart, God says, I'll bring it to you and I will bless you, because it's putting the kingdom first. In other words, you don't have to strive for these things. I am finding, as I'm going on in this walk, I'm asking God to make my life as simple and as uncomplicated as it can be, so that it's quality time given to him, worshipping him, walking with him, hearing what he's saying, sustaining strength from him to keep me alive in this rat race world that we live in. As I go on, I find I don't want all that the world is lusting for, is pressing in for, and we've got so many neurotics around us today. I cannot believe God has saved me for that. In fact, I know he hasn't. And so, the Apostle Paul says here to the church at Galatia, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. In other words, you won't keep feeding those things that the flesh lusts for. And I don't have to tell you what they are. It can be anything. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. In other words, you're not really what you wish, what you desire, you're not really putting the kingdom first. And I hear so many professing Christians here saying the same old thing, and at times it comes out of my mouth, there's not enough hours in the day. Where has the day gone? You sit down 9 o'clock to have some quality time with God, and the next thing you find is you're dozing off. You can't keep awake. You know? And so that's how it goes. Has God saved us for such a thing? Now, of course, we have responsibilities. Don't get me wrong. But God says, in those responsibilities that we have, in our homes, husbands, wives, with the children, all those things, God says, I will strengthen you, I will sustain you. I have found, when I put the kingdom of God first, you know, I've had a full day, and yet there's still, at the end of the day, that time that I can have with God. And it is quality time. And you find in that quality time, you're drawing strength from him. Jesus drew strength from his Father daily. And he said it by, I do only those things which are revealed. In other words, he was showing that I draw my life, everything, I draw from the fountain of life. And that is what God is wanting to do with each member in this church. And that is why you're going through what you're going through. That is why sometimes you're burnt out, you're exhausted, all of it, because God is trying to get your attention, my attention, that you can draw everything you need for each day from the fountain of life, and not be stressed out, not be tired, not be a loss of peace, or all those things that we at times go through, and I go through. And you know when it's happening, because you start to lose your peace, you start to get short, you get ratty, you get irritable, you lose your joy, you can't praise any longer, your mind is racing, trying to organise and trying to work everything out. Oh, dear, dear, dear. And you suddenly stop and say, Lord, I can't go on like this. This is ridiculous. This is not what it's all about, you know? And praise God, he's working with us. He's doing it because he's getting you to have that time in your praying, you're also believing. And when you are stressed, you can't believe. You may even have a time of prayer, but when you are stressed and not really putting the kingdom of God first, you know full well you've gone before God, you've prayed, and you've simply recited. You've just simply spoken words, but you haven't really believed a word you've said. And God knows it, and the devil knows it. But Paul says here, but you are led by the Spirit. You are not under the law. There's the new birth. There's the confession. There's the standing ground. Your standing ground is you are not led by the flesh. You are led by the Spirit because you are no longer under law, under bondage. You are now under grace. So that if that's truly in your heart, that is going to work and work and work with you. It won't let you have any rest. Because God is going to have you led by the Spirit. He's not going to have you under the law, under works, under bondage, under the stress. See? He won't let us do it. And then he goes on about what the works of the flesh are. Well, the works of the flesh can be adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Well, that's rife today. That's rife today. And of course, to live such an unclean life like that takes a lot. If you live an adulterous life, you live two lives. You're hiding from your spouse. You're living a lie. And anybody who's doing that, they're having to work overtime. Why are they working overtime? Because they're trying to cover up the evidence. And that's why. So there's no peace. They're all the while on their guard. They've got to watch their mobiles. They've got to watch their clothes they wear. Make sure there's no scent on the collar or anything like that. You know, you've seen all the films. It's a full-time job. And all the rest that goes with it. Idolatry. Again, a full-time job. If you've got many idols in your life, you're trying to feed all those idols. Sorcery, hatred, there we are, witchcraft that goes with it. Strife, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts, wrath, all takes time. Consuming time, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, he goes on, of which I tell you beforehand, just as those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. You can almost feel it. You can almost feel it as you confess it, as it's there. Gentleness, self-control, against such there is no law. You're practicing those things, you're not under the law. Those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. And here it again, it comes right back to the cross. Comes back to the cross. God's working that cross each day to minister peace to your mind, to your circumstances, so that you can walk on another level, another plane that the rest of that world is not walking. And I tell you, you will start to get the attention of people out there. They will begin to say, what is it? How come you walk differently? How come you're not stressed down with so many of the things that the world is? They will see a joy, a countenance, a walk about you that the rest of the world are not walking. That's what God's bringing us into. Because as he brings you into that, as you begin to experience that more and more, you're going to find your praying and your believing, your faith is going to rise up. It really is. It really is. What does Titus have to say about this? Titus chapter 2, verses 15, 16. Titus 2, 15, 16. Be diligent to present yourselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. So be diligent to present yourself to God, a worker that doesn't need to be ashamed. That's really the emphasis of it. That's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong one, aren't I? I was looking at Timothy. Sorry about that. Actually, that was quite good, I thought. Praise God. 2:15, sorry about this. To the pure, all things are pure, but to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, disqualified for every good work. Sadly, that is prevalent. Is prevalent. That is prevalent today. That you've got those ungodly, defiled. And that is why the Holy Spirit is doing such a purging work within us, to present us faultless in the last days. That was Titus 2, 15 and 16. Isn't it? Oh, sorry. I'll get it right in a minute, won't I? Praise the Lord. No, I meant one. So that is what the Holy Spirit's doing. And so as we don't fulfill the lusts of the flesh, the works of the flesh, which bring us under the law, the cross that we daily take up, that we are to bear, is purging us, is cleaning us, delivering us. Now, we know that to be our experience. That's not something that you suddenly rush to your Bible and look for proof texts. You know that the Holy Spirit's working that in your life. That is our experience. That is what we know experientially is happening to us. And so as we feed off this word, as the word, as we come under this anointing, it works this deliverance in us. So what is it doing ultimately? It's disposing us, it's freeing us up, it's delivering us, unfettering us, so that we can have this prayer life, and a prayer life where we're believing in what we pray. That is so important. Faith has not bypassed this church now, just because we've had thousands of messages on faith over the years that somehow we've now moved on to the next thing. We're still going to be challenged with regard to believing, unbelief, lack of faith. God is still going to expose it where he sees it's still working in our lives. But it brings me on to a second point with how God is working this. And I've noticed very much now over about the last 2 years, and God's been working this, but there's been a big emphasis, a real working now, an experiential side of this, and that is that God's working a real separation with us, and he's separating us from those who don't believe, those who simply go through the motions, or they profess to be Christians, but really they are not. We notice that there is a real separation from those who will hinder us. As it says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14, he says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness?" So for us to come further into believing, faith, believing when we pray, you have got to allow the Holy Spirit to work where you are not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And he says, "What fellowship do you have with lawlessness, with darkness? You have none." And so we cannot associate, we can't fellowship, we can't keep with people who are simply going through the motions. Now, why does Paul emphasize this? Why is this such a, why is he saying this? Because God is holy. And he's not going to have that holy work he's doing in you defiled. He's not going to have it interfered with. We need to see the holiness of God. And when we start to experience the holiness of God, he's not going to have you defiled with unclean things. It is contrary to him. It will hinder your prayers. It will hinder your faith. Are we battling sometimes still in unbelief? We find it hard to believe. It could just be because we're still involved with uncleanness. We're not separated from them. They are hindering us. They are defiled. Now, it doesn't mean to say that you have a hate towards them. That's not what we're talking about. Because Jesus walked amongst the tax collectors, the dropouts, the prostitutes and so forth. But he still kept holy. He didn't change. He didn't change his message, his ministry. They came to him. The Father drew them to him. Remember, that's how it works. So if anything is unclean, lawlessness, defiled, God brings it to you. You don't move into that camp. That's how it works. I've heard Christians say, "Oh, we're going to that nightclub tonight or that disco because we believe that that's where God can use us and we can evangelize and minister." A load of hogwash. God brings it to you. That's how the Holy Spirit works. I've got nothing. If God takes you into a place like that, he'll make it absolutely clear. And you'll certainly be covered by the blood of Jesus. But it's God bringing it to you, to me. I was always told years ago, and I've said this before, when God was preparing and bringing me into a deliverance part of my ministry, he says, "Don't ever go looking for demons. You don't need to do that. God will bring them to you. God will bring whoever needs deliverance to you." And that's how he will always work, in that principle. And I have never forgotten that. And that has been true. That has been true. So Paul is very clear here. Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. In other words, he means that you are yoked. You're mixing with others, but they're not really believers. They're not really going on with the Lord. They're just religious. They're just going through the motions. Now, you may say to yourself, well, there's nothing wrong with that. But you do not know what you are doing in the Spirit. And that is the point. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities. You, in the Spirit, can start to let the hedge down. And by being unequally yoked, it can be a number of things. Maybe your marriage starts to become hindered. Or maybe the children start to get rebellious. Or maybe sickness is suddenly starting to strike the family. Or it can be anything. We have to inquire of these things when we find oppression is starting to come into our life, into our family, or whatever it is. We've got to inquire of God. Because very often it can be, I am moving in to uncleanness, that which is defiled, and I shouldn't be there. I shouldn't be with it. That is the question, you see. And this will hinder your prayers, it'll hinder your believing, it'll hinder you from hearing from God until we get it right. And I'm not talking about the fact that we live in a rebellious, fallen world. God still kept us in that world, and he says, I'll keep you, and if you do it my way, I'll keep you separated and not defiled by it. Now that takes a miracle, doesn't it? It certainly does. But you will watch a principle working in your life. If God's going to do something, or he's going to bring somebody along, or whatever it be, he will do it. He'll present it. He'll move you into the scene. He'll take you there. You will know, because you will be blessed, you will be protected, you will be preserved, you will be kept. You see? So that you don't become oppressed or doors open up. And it's the same with our families. There's a lot of uncleanness, there's a lot of rebellion that goes on with our families. And God is delivering us from these ancestral things. And we need to be on our guard how we mix with our families. There's a lot of unclean stuff that goes on. We should not have doors open to this. We have to take these stands. Else the doors open and oppression starts to come in, and you battle these things, you try and pray on these things, and you can't release faith because we're not sustaining and keeping these spiritual principles. Sometimes we're going to be unpopular. Sometimes even the family will reject us. We've had it in our family. I've had to take stands on certain things. They called us cult, you name it. But I have seen God blessing as a result. The problem is, and I say this with the families because Jesus addressed this very often, because this is where it often comes, it starts. What we have to battle is the rejection side. That we feel rejected, or we're fearful that we will be rejected because we take that stand. But we have to remember, what is the motive of rejection? What really works behind that? That is a pride. It's pride. Pride will not let us take that stand, you see. So, again, we have to be very much on our guard with regard to these things. Because it's going to hinder our prayer life. Or we find that our prayer life is hindered because we're still a bit like Thomas. We're still not going to believe unless I have some signs, unless I have some evidence, unless I have a fleece and that's put out and God clearly shows me that this is God's way, this is God's plan for me. And of course, we know the story too well. I'll just read it to you quickly in John 20 and verse 27. Then Jesus said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here and put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord, my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. So God, really what he was saying is, there's a blessing. There's a blessing to Mark 11:24. Wherefore, whatsoever thing you ask when you believe, praying, you have received. God says there's a blessing attached to that. And do you know what I think that blessing is? It's here today. This meeting. This assembly. The overcoming message. The deeper life. Wise virgins. That is its blessing. Can you believe that? I do. I do. But you've got your Thomases. Yes, they'll make it in, but they're not going to have that blessing. The doubting Thomases are those foolish virgins. We have to come to that place in our prayer life where I'm not going to question. God has said it, I believe it. And I'm not going to look for evidence, for signs. And if we want that, God will work that. And he is working that. That's why he's addressing it this morning. It's interesting, isn't it, with the disciples? You know, as you look at the Gospels, you can see the different characters, can't you? You've got a bunch there of 12. They're all different. You had your Thomas there. You've got your Peter there. You've got your John there. You've got your Andrew there. And they're all there, different ones. But out of it, you're seeing the ones who are really blessed, just going that extra mile. Peter, James and John, particularly John. Up onto the Mount of Transfiguration. They're there. And you see that amongst Christendom. You see that in Christendom. You see it right in the house of God. You see it right here in this assembly. You see. Praying and believing, or just praying and not believing, can be another problem. And Jesus encountered this problem. Turn with me, if you will, to Matthew 13. Matthew 13, verses 53 to 58, where we're told that Jesus could do very little works or miracles in Nazareth because of unbelief. Matthew 13, verses 53 onwards. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from there. And when he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogues, so that they were astonished and said, "Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon of Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things?" So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house." Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. So right in his family, right in his town, in his place where he was brought up, where they knew him, the community, he couldn't do many works there. Simply because they just were not going to believe. Who is this? Where's he got this from? How, you know, the mind, the intellect, questioning, why? That's all what was going on. Find out about this. What is it? Where did he get this? How did he get this? And he couldn't do much because of unbelief. And at times we fall still victim to this, don't we? We want to question. We want to know why. We want to analyse. We want to get out. Investigate. The mind wants to be in control. See, when the mind wants to be in control, then the intellect, then the body, organising, manipulating, controlling. That's what it is. That's how it works. They couldn't accept that he was the Son of God, that God was with him. So as a result of it, their prayers, their believing was hindered. Couldn't receive. Can't you see now the huge work of deliverance that God's doing with us? Can God do this? Is this possible that he can work this with us in my life, your life? Yes, it is. And I'm not going to ask why, how, when, whatever. He is God, he can do it. And he's made no mistake over your life and my life, and certainly over this assembly. And that's all I need to know. And he'll do the rest. Hallelujah. What a rest of faith this is. Turn with me also to Luke 24. Luke chapter 24. I'm highlighting these points because we can see this still going on in our lives. That's why they're in the Gospels. Luke 24 and verse 25. This is Jesus after he's risen on the road to Emmaus. Luke 24, 25, where he appears. Then he said to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And so it goes on. So there he reveals himself after his resurrection to the disciples, to his mother, and so on. But again, they don't believe. O foolish ones, slow of heart to believe in all the prophets have spoken. What is Jesus exposing there? He said, you haven't done your homework in believing the word of God. They knew Old Testament. They knew the law of Moses. And he said, you don't believe what you've been taught, what you were given. Slow of heart. Now, what does it mean to be of slow of heart? It means that you don't really take to heart what you are hearing. You're slow, sluggish, undisciplined. Oh, well, I'll get there in the end. And, you know, you hear the message, or we're hearing it today, but somehow you're just procrastinating. It's just not quite that important. You know, after all, I've come here this morning and I'm listening to the word, but Pastor, you need to know what's going on in my life at the moment. You need to know what's going on at home. I'm having trouble with the children. They are giving me real problems. And at the moment, my mind's more on that than it really is on the word of God. That's slow of heart. Instead of really hearing what the word's saying, that's going to put your children right. That is what Jesus is saying here. And it's human things, isn't it? We're all suffering with it at times. We've all gone through it, or are going through it. It's this anxiety, it's this hindrances, the things of the world. And that's why God is working the cross, and that's why he's saying, whatever your life is, whatever you're going through, just count it all joy. Just praise me, just worship me. Because it isn't going to last. You'll probably come through it a lot quicker than you realise. But above all, we come before him in prayer and believing. And that is what it's all about. And the reason that I'm emphasizing this, because we know so well here that Jesus said, because without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So, you can't impress him. He certainly is not pleased. In fact, God is going to show you, if you don't believe in your prayers, then that is sin. And that sin is hindering you. That sin is keeping doors open, which are buffeting. And so we have to go right back to the basics. We have to come right back to these basic principles that we have been taught over the years. To get it right. Because when you are believing, there's something that's diligent about you, and that you know he is going to reward. You know that he has heard, even before you open your mouth. There are many times when I've met the conditions and I prayed the prayer of faith, before I've even actually opened my mouth, I know God has answered it. I just know. All I need to do is speak it into being. But it's already there. And he wants you to know that. That's what ultimately he's working in you and I. Now, as we bring this to its conclusion, let's look at a few more verses that we know very well here. For example, in the context of what I've just been speaking about in Hebrews 11, in John 15 and verse 7, John 15 and verse 7, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. Abiding. The word. If my words abide in you. Well, who is the word? Jesus. He abides in you. Remains in you. The word is there. Then he says, you will ask what you desire, and it should be done for you. By this my Father is glorified that you bear that fruit, that you are my disciples. You see. So, by asking those things that you desire, glorifies the Father. He said it, I didn't. It goes on in John 16, verse 24. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So those needs that arise, he says, ask that your joy may be full. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the joy of the Lord also comes by you being blessed in those things that you ask and receive by faith. That's part of your joy. Maybe some of you are saying, I just can't get into that place of joy. Counting it all joy when I go through these trials. I've done everything I know to do. I've prayed, I've gone through deliverance, all those sort of things. Well, it may be just lacking because you still aren't not believing, because God wants to answer your prayers, those things you're believing for, to help you with your joy. That maybe is what is lacking. See, we've never thought about that one, have we? You see? No, friends. Praying, believing are all conditional. And you can't do it in yourself. And don't even attempt to try and do what we have discussed this morning in your own strength. You won't. You will fail. You'll be utterly disappointed, depressed, and miserable. This can only come as a result as we do it God's way. And to do it God's way, God has highlighted things this morning in this assembly. Now, I didn't know he was going to highlight things that he's highlighted. I don't know these things beforehand. This is what comes by the Spirit. But they've come out the Spirit, come out by the Holy Spirit this morning, because God has had to address things in the body where it's not working. And he goes right back to some of the basics, as I just finish now, just to remind ourselves. A lot of our praying and not believing, unbelief, is coming as a result of things that can be right in our house, in our dwelling place, that we've got to get right. Remember, God is most holy. And he's not going to have defilement in his presence. Now, how God gets to that, how he ultimately brings you and I to that finished result, well, it's a miracle. Let's face it, it's a miracle. Emotions, just driven by emotions, and that's one of the big ones. Emotions are unclean in his sight. Now, God has given us emotions, but emotions that are driven by unbelief, by control, that is unclean. And so he will work that in us. To take those stands, to mean no, my times may cause persecution. But God will give us the strength. And so we've got to be on our guard, because we are dealing with a holy God. Your faith is holy. Your believing is holy. Your receiving the promises from God's word is holy. All the blessings in your life are holy. Your whole life and walk is holy unto God. It's a separation. It's a separation from all that is unclean, as he cleans your life up, my life up as well. And friends, you know, the more you receive of this, the more you're going to want it. The more you can't get enough of it. Because it's bringing such peace, such joy, such blessing. It floods you. It overwhelms you. It's a countenance. It's a presence. It's a light that shines on us, that it will expose the lights of darkness around you. This is where the greater works is going to come. This is where healings, deliverances, all these things we're pressing in for, this is where your prayers are going to be answered, is coming out of holiness. Because it's God we're dealing with. Amen. Father, we thank you again this morning. Lord, we are so blessed. We are so aware, Father, that what you are doing in and through us can only be achieved by the work of the Holy Spirit. And it is a holy work you're doing. And Lord, I thank you that the more we participate of this and experience this, the more we want. And Father, you know our conditions, you know our family lives, you know our situations, whether it be at work, with our neighbour, wherever it would be, Lord, you know. But Father, where there's compromise, where it's still not right, Lord, we do not want it. We want it put right, Father, because it's about your glory, it's about your name, it's about holiness, it's about removing unbelief from our prayers, that when we pray, we know that you've already heard, Father, and answered even before we open our mouths. Lord, what a position that we're coming into. What a blessing, Father. And Lord, I thank you that you will achieve this. You will do this, Lord, because we believe you put those godly affections within our heart. And so, Lord, as we're going that extra mile now, we're in that last lap. There are times, Father, when we just feel we can't take any more. We just feel that we're absolutely battle fatigued, or we're just at our last strength. Father, you revive us. You strengthen us. Your hand is there, supporting us, leading us, guiding us, taking us on, Father. For you said in your word, it's not by might nor by power, but it is by the work of the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.